This is The State of Things, live from the Triad Stage in Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. So think about this. What if the winning coach of this year's NCAA basketball tournament could then determine the height of the hoop and the distance of the three-point line based on his or her team's strength for the upcoming season? Wouldn't that be a great thing for that coach? Well, that's what we do in politics all the time. Here in North Carolina, if you win the majority, if your party wins, well, then those state legislatures can do something similar with our state's electoral maps. Strategic redistricting has long been the norm, and both Republicans and Democrats are guilty. A new virtual reality video game on display at the Greensboro History Museum wants visitors to corrupt democracy for fun. And we're going to see how that gets done today. Their tagline, as you win, democracy loses. The museum is featuring Gerrymander Madness as part of their Project Democracy 2020. Robert Harris is curator of exhibits at the Greensboro History Museum. He's here with us. Hello, Robert.
Thank you.
Don Shin is CEO of Crosscom, which designed the virtual reality game. Welcome to both of you. Hello, Don. Thank you.
Thanks.
Don, tell us a little bit about this game, this virtual reality game. What happens and what are we doing here?
Sure. So the user or the game player enters into this virtual reality experience. They enter into a room that they've never been, and they are playing the role of a political, a campaign staffer, or an operative who is looking to determine the fate of North Carolina. And before that game player, they see a map of North Carolina that's already districted, and it's already color-coded by region to see which regions are leaning towards blue and which are leaning towards red. And then they have the power through these handheld controllers to start manipulating the district lines and seeing the changes towards the electoral outcome in real time.
And the interesting thing is you're using real voter data, so we kind of know who's voted Democrat in there and who's voted those districts that have generally gone Republican and generally gone Democrat. So if I redraw the lines, I can dilute the strength of one party or the other.
That's right.
And I get to do it. It's kind of cool. You know, again, it's virtual reality, so you're immersed in the world and you get to do it. But what's the point of it?
So the point is to demonstrate, besides learning about how gerrymandering is done to determine electoral outcome, the point is to really let the game player walk away with a sense of the fragility of our democracy and how much we as a people need to take stewardship of this democracy, and that the same population set, same North Carolina, can actually go one way or the other in election based upon how you draw those lines.
All right, so it's kind of a winner take all in that sense every 10 years. So Robert, talk about having this at the Museum of History, the History Museum, and the impact. What do you want people to come to the museum to take away?
Well, what we really want in this space is to make connections, and we created this space a year and a half or so ago, and we call it Connection Point. And unlike the rest of the history museum, or most history museums, where you go in and you get information, there's a lot of factual graphics on the wall. This one doesn't have those textbooks on the wall. This is truly about making connections. And this game is one way to make those connections. We started by putting a series of typewriters out in the room, and it became one of the most popular exhibits we had. People loved going in and playing with the typewriters because they had to sit at round tables and talk to each other. They had to interact one generation to the other. And this one is kind of that in reverse. This is a very modern, current technology, an evolving technology, but it's doing the same thing. Everyone in the room can see what is going on in the VR game, and people around it then can connect with the person playing or each other and learn about how gerrymandering occurs, what it's about. A lot of the kids that come in, of course, know nothing about gerrymandering. A lot of the adults don't. And this is a way to get those basics understanding of what gerrymandering is about and to make those connections one-on-one with each other.
I want to talk some more about gerrymandering and how easy it is once we put those goggles on. But talk more about the dynamics. What have you seen? Again, with the typewriter, I'm imagining, you know, kids looking at it, recognizing some of the features. I know what those letters mean, but what's all this other stuff? And then maybe grandparents saying, oh, I remember having to put the whiteout all over the paper.
Absolutely. That's been one of the coolest things to watch, watching family come in, and a grandparent will be in, or even more so, a parent will be in who will say, I remember that typewriter because my great-grandfather had it sitting in his office, and I haven't touched it since then, which is, that's just been so neat to watch. And then their grandchild will be sitting there not knowing how to put the paper into the typewriter, how to roll it around, or they're used to computer keys, which react tactilely very differently than a typewriter does. So that inner exchange between generations and between even other kids or other adults have been just phenomenal to watch.
And then conversely, hey, Grandpa, come over here. I want you to put these goggles on. And him saying, what now?
Exactly. And I have found for myself, who is not a game player, and my grandson lives on video games and the like, we've actually absolutely seen that, where younger generation are helping older generation learn how to use the VR experience. And a VR experience can be a little frightening for some people if you've never tried it, because you have to put these glasses on that block out the rest of your environment. So if you have someone with you that has that experience and have done it, it can be kind of stabilizing or make it feel a little safer environment.
Yeah, but let's talk about the game itself, Don. There's an inherent playfulness, of course. No real consequences come of it. But, you know, we use phrases like gerrymandering. We've had mathematicians on who've testified before Congress about how it worked here in North Carolina. And based on their testimony, you know, the courts found what they did here, at least over the past 10 years, was illegal. But if I have a mathematician on and I'm trying to get them to explain the math in all of this, you know, it's my due diligence, but it's also pretty difficult to get across to an audience that cares but is trying to figure this out. I would think that the inherent playfulness of this allows participants a better sense of what's going on, huh?
Absolutely. And when you go into the experience, there's a lot of tutorial, a lot of onboarding that explains the mechanics of gerrymandering, but we also understand that this is a game and this is also a museum experience. And so we also encourage the users just to, if they need to, get past the tutorials and just interactively play around with the map and experiment in a lab setting where you're just kind of moving district lines around to see, you know, cause and effect, what happens, the colors of the district changing and the map, three-dimensional map in front of you. I think that kind of inherent playfulness allows people to, even if they don't fully understand how to become a gerrymandering expert, to start getting curious and realize, oh, wow, just changing these lines, again, can change the outcome of the election with the same people.
And because of the immersion, because you're with the map for so long, it gives you, at least in schematic, a better sense of who your state is, who lives here, where are people more conservative, where do they tend to be more liberal. You're really engaged in that way.
Yes, for sure. One thing that, there's actually two North Carolina maps in the experience, one in front of you where you can change the district lines, and a three-dimensional topographical population density map that shows where all the people are densely packed in the state of North Carolina, and those are the regions where you can actually acquire a lot of the voters or crack them up amongst multiple districts to dilute their impact on the actual voting outcome.
You also have a virtual cup of coffee on the table, and so for me, how you keep the steam coming out of it.
Everyone comments on the coffee.
How do you keep the coffee hot? That's what I want to know.
The magic of VR is that coffee can go on forever and stay hot forever. Every single player comments on the coffee. It's amazing.
It's great stuff. Robert, this is one exhibit, but the Democracy 2020 project is really going on all year. Give us a sense of what else we can expect.
It is, and this portion of it is from the Smithsonian. The American Democracy, A Great Leap of Faith, is a traveling exhibit from Smithsonian, and it will be in our museum until the end of the month. On the 29th, and then that goes away. But we decided that we were going to go big with this and turn the entire museum into Project Democracy 2020, and at least for the next year, particularly with the upcoming election, we're dedicating the museum to elements of democracy. And pretty much in every section of the museum that you go into, you will find information regarding democracy specifically. For instance, in our main exhibit, Voices of a City, we have gone through and added information about voting rights, who can vote, what legislation has occurred with voting throughout the course of Greensboro history. And a lot of people are completely shocked when they realize what rights did not exist in back through history. So that's going to be going on for the next year. But in this July, we're replacing the Smithsonian exhibit with our own North Carolina Democracy. We don't have a full working title for it yet, but it will be about the history of North Carolina democracy, but certain key elements, and gerrymandering is one of the key elements that will definitely be involved. Information about the Wilmington coup at the turn of the century will be a big part of it. Things about women's suffrage will be a large part of it. So that will open this July. And it's a work in progress, and pretty much because that's what not only North Carolina democracy is, but democracy in general. It's a work in progress. It's not a great linear forward progression. It goes in waves as we look through history of ups and downs.
Yeah, and the great thing about it is you're bringing together people in a building, as you say, to have conversations, which if you had started to feel a little bit powerless in this situation as the news becomes more overwhelming, the idea that you physically can manipulate this, stand in a room and talk to other people, I would think can help empower us at a time when it's crucial to feel like we should be in charge.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much. Robert Harris is curator of exhibits at the Greensboro History Museum. Don Shin is CEO of Crosscom, which designed the virtual reality game Gerrymander Madness. Project Democracy 2020 going to be shown at the Greensboro History Museum into 2021. Going to be hosting an after-hour games night this Friday from 5:30 to 7:30, and you can find that at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we'll look at a project about the public records of enslaved people in this state, but first, the cello music of Brianna Tam and her electric cello. Brianna.